Genesis 14 on Through the Word, the story of two God-fearing men caught in a war that they didn't want and didn't ask for. Sometimes life doesn't ask your permission to get crazy. Check that. Life never asks your permission. It just goes. We're following the story of Abram and Lot. Uncle and nephew, both of them family men, both of them followers of the Most High God. They left together the land of their youth, but now they've parted ways. The beginning of our story focuses on Lot. Lot was a righteous man living on the outskirts of the world. Lot is the Bible's first backslider, the first man to fall away from a walk with God. How does it happen? How does someone just slip away from faith? Well, for Lot, first he chose for himself, and then he moved near Sodom. That's where we left off. Here in chapter 14, Lot is not an instigator in this story. In fact, Lot does not play a decision-making role anywhere in the rest of his story. His last active decision that we see is his choice to move near Sodom. After that, he is reactionary only, just along for the ride. He doesn't have to invite the war. When you live near Sin City, the war comes to you. The chapter opens in verse 1 with the Bible's very first record of war. There's not much detail here. What was it over? Was it worth dying for or killing for? Don't know. Doesn't look like it. There were four smaller kingdoms, including Lot's hometown of Sodom, taking on five kingdoms who were bigger, badder, and apparently had been holding them down. In verse 4, it says, 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but in the 13th year they rebelled. So King Chedorlaomer is the main oppressor in this story, and if you can't say his name, just call him the Big Cheese. We don't know much of what went down or what people fought, killed, and died for, but isn't that the way with war? War doesn't care if you understand it or whether you have a reason to fight. War just overtakes you because you lived in the wrong place at the wrong time. That was Lot's story. Battle lines were drawn up in verse 8, four kings against five. It wasn't good guys against bad guys, never really is. In verse 10, King Cheddarhead wins the battle and Sodom and Gomorrah flee. So the bad guys won and the bad guys lost. And to the victor go the spoils. And with the spoils came Lot's family. Look at verse 12. They also took Lot, the son of Abram's brother, who was dwelling in Sodom, and his possessions, and went their way. Wait a second. That said Lot was dwelling in Sodom. What happened to near Sodom? It seems that Lot and his family were not content to just live near Sin City. They finally moved in. And that's a key phrase there in verse 12. Why was Lot taken? Because he was dwelling in Sodom. The rest of Lot's story is driven by this one thing. Now contrast that with verse 13 and where Abram was living. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, who was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshol and of Aner. These were allies of Abram. While Lot was living in Sodom, Abram was living with allies. So the question for you is, where do you live? Do you dwell in the greener pastures as close as you can to Sin City and find yourself stumbling in every now and then? Or do you live among allies who keep you strong in your walk with the Lord? And then in verse 14, when Abram heard that his kinsmen had been taken captive, he led forth his trained men, born in his house, 318 of them, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them to Hobah, north of Damascus. Then he brought back all the possessions, and also brought back his kinsman Lot with his possessions, and the women and the people. And so the man who kept his walk close with the Lord goes and rescues the man who wandered to the world. It's the way it usually goes, and it's the right thing to do for Abram. But will Lot learn his lesson? I don't know. As far as we can tell here, Lot never so much as showed up to say thank you. But two other men do show up. They're both kings. In verse 17 and verse 18, the king of Sodom and the king of Salem each show up to visit Abram in a place known as the King's Valley. Now, the king of Sodom showed up, of course, because Abram had basically saved him and all the people of his little wicked town. But this other king is interesting, one of the most curious and controversial characters in the entire Bible. Look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And there in four little verses is the whole story of Melchizedek. Who is this guy and where did he come from? He's a king of Salem and a priest of God Most High. of the true and living God. He brings bread and wine. He blesses Abram, blesses God, and Abram gives him a tenth of everything. So what's going on? So this Melchizedek is a king in a place called Salem, which would later be called Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he was also a priest of the Most High God. Now what's a priest? A priest is someone who connects people with God. The Latin word for priest means bridge builder. And that's essentially what they do, building bridges between us and God on high. Now this is the very first priest that shows up in the Bible, and that's important. Now scholars debate on exactly who this Melchizedek is, but if you want to know, you've got to read Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Now scholars argue over just who Melchizedek is. Everyone agrees that he's at least a picture of Jesus, but many scholars believe that this is Jesus, and here's why. His name means King of Righteousness. Sounds like Jesus. His title is King of Salem, which means King of Peace. Sounds like Jesus. His capital city is Jerusalem. Sounds like Jesus. And he shows up with bread and wine. That sounds like communion, which reminds me of Jesus. Melchizedek is the only man in the Bible who can serve as both king and priest, except for, of course, Jesus himself. So if you ask me, I think this is Jesus. Whoever he is, Abram recognizes him as a genuine representative of God, and Abram gives him a tenth of everything. That's a tithe. The word tithe means tenth. And that tenth is a biblical standard for giving to God. Now, why is this tithe so important? If you want to see what really matters to a person, don't watch his words. Watch where he spends his time and his money. What did Jesus say about treasure? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, your heart follows whatever you invest your treasure into, and this is huge. And watch how this tithing affects Abram's heart when the worldly king of Sodom comes calling. Now, the king of Sodom is a picture of Satan. And in verse 21, he said to Abram, "Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself." Now, the word for persons can also be translated as souls. And just like Satan, this king offers all the goods, but he wants to keep the souls. Abram's not buying it. In verse 22, "I have lifted my hand to the Lord, God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich." Abram's faith and his integrity shine through here. He was tested, but how did he pass? Why wasn't he tempted? It was the tithe. His treasure was invested in the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace, and his heart followed. And now his heart is not easily tempted by all the stuff of Sodom. So what about you? Who or what makes you rich? How do you count your riches, and where do those riches come from? Read Genesis 14 today and consider where you dwell and who makes you rich. Take Lot's example as a sober warning and look to Abram, a man of integrity and the father of our faith.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.